like to have you turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, John, the 14th chapter. And again, I say it's a real privilege to be here with you, precious saints. And as you know, I'm very nervous, and I'm not used to getting up before such a large crowd, but we're thankful the Lord can help us. John chapter 14. In my Bible, it's red letters, the beginning, it's the words of Christ directly. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shewest the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelt in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to choose verse number 6 this morning as my text. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We cannot get to heaven any other way. We must go through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I might say Jesus is the personification of truth. He's the embodiment of truth. Amen. Everything about him is truth personified. Truth comes through knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Thank God for truth. Through him we have life. He's the source of our spiritual and eternal life. In conjunction to chapter 14, verse 6, I like to use Proverbs 23:23. There the writer Solomon says, buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let me repeat that. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Many years ago, Sister Frances Wilson, who at the time when I first came was living with Brother and Sister Carl McKnight, she had painted a sign with these words, learn the truth, live the truth, and love the truth. And it was on the barn when I came in 1963. Learn the truth, live the truth, and love the truth. Our message this morning takes in those three short sentences. Learn the truth, live the truth, and love the truth. Amen. In English grammar, they're what we call imperative sentences. They're called commands. The subject is you. You learn the truth. You live the truth, and you love the truth. Amen. This camp meeting marks our 55th anniversary of coming to camp meeting. 55 years ago, we walked on these grounds as just a young man. I was overwhelmed with a tremendous amount of people. I thought in my mind, this city, every individual in this city must attend this congregation. There can be no other churches in town but the Church of God. I was overwhelmed. Amen. I've learned much truth by coming here. I've learned much truth by coming here. I remember so well about 1972. I don't know the exact year, but 1972. When I sat in the old barn and God put me on the wheels, as Jeremiah 18 chapter tells us, and the word and spirit began to work on me to reveal truth that I'd never heard before. And I had to make a decision, but I could see that it was truth. And I was telling him, I told my wife when I got up to walk down to the dining room, I could hardly walk. I was very weak. But I remember telling her, let's watch our attitude. Let's watch our attitude. And I could see that it was truth. And I thank God for truth. Truth clears up a lot of confusion. I was a confused young man for many years when it came to sanctification. But God revealed truth to me. I thank God for it. I had a battle with that doctrine and teaching. But truth has cleared it up. Thank God. I've learned much truth by coming here. Truth that I acquired by my four Church of God pastors before Brother Emerson. Those truths were confirmed. The majority of them, I should say, they were firmly established, became more deeply rooted in my heart, in my mind, by Brother Wilson, by Brother Decker, and other great men of God. I thank God for truth. Learn the truth. Live the truth and love the truth more than anything else in the world. Your love for truth should be on the very highest rung of the ladder of great importance. With the help of the Lord, I've done my very best to live the truth I've learned here at God's Acres in the last 55 years. And above all that I love and treasure, it's the truth. My understanding of truth has been progressive. It grows, increases, it's ongoing. But we must be open-minded. I believe Isaiah said in the first chapter, verse 16, I believe it is, he said, come and reason with me, saith the Lord. Truth is reasonable. Truth is reasonable. Jesus said in John 16, 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. We've got to be open-minded. We've got to be willing. And I believe the principle is if we'll obey that truth, he'll reveal it to us. If we'll obey that truth, he will reveal it to us. So many people closed their minds. They wouldn't obey it if they knew what truth was. They have no desire to obey him. As long as we live, God is continuing to teach us, and we should be willing to learn. Truth, I'm going to give you a dictionary definition. Truth is the quality or state of being true. That which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. Divine godly principles that are taught by the Church of God are built upon truth. I had quite a discussion with a young man in our congregation last evening before he came. And I said, I'm not going to teach my own desires and that which perhaps I want. We've got to be careful to teach what the Bible teaches. And I'm standing here to witness and testify the Church of God teaches the ultimate truth. I do not go down to Babylon looking for truth. I found it in the Church of the Living God. It's the epitome of truth. John 17, 70 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. God's people are set apart because of truth. We're set apart from the world. We're set apart from false religion. We're a separate, distinct people. Truth coincides, it agrees, it harmonizes with the principles contained in the Word of God. Truth will not contradict the Bible. It will not refute the Word of God. Hosea 4:1 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Could that be said of America? Truth is at a premium in America. You can say what you want. There's very little truth in America. Few congregations that are built upon truth. I've been confronted different times by people. And one individual told me down south, the minister said, God's acre has been built on a man. I said, I stand and testify, it's been built on truth. God's acres has been built on truth. And I'm a witness to that. The last 55 years I've faithfully been coming. It's a congregation that's built on truth. Hosea says, I reiterate, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Truth, as I said, is at a premium. It's scarce. I often think, as an old Church of God minister and pastor now for 48 years, had a burden for my congregation 50 years, do people realize how fortunate they are to be in a place where truth is heralded? They wouldn't miss a church service. They wouldn't miss service. They wouldn't miss the house of worship. If people really realize how fortunate they are to hear truth. Isaiah says in Isaiah 59:14, and judgment is turning away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth, in other words, is nowhere to be found, but you're going to find it at God's acres. Often there's a price to be paid in purchasing the truth. Solomon said, buy the truth and sell it not. You and I know that hundreds of people have sold the truth. I went to pastor in Oregon in 1970. We came back for camp meetings, and we had a large family, 7 children. Sometimes we'd come in the back door there, the balcony, and they would work and hunt, looking for a place for 9 of us to sit. Too many people have given up truth. You can say what you want. Judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot be entered. Truth in most places is completely gone. Often, as I said, there's a price to be paid in buying the truth. Solomon said, buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. We have to give up a lot of things, but I thank God truth is far greater than those things I've given up. We have a sister in our congregation who is Seventh-day Adventist. She was raised Seventh-day Adventist. And they are taught a lot about Revelation. They don't see it clearly. I told a young man last night, you can say what you want, but I'm saying that which I believe. Our fellowship of people understands the book of Revelation more than any other group of people that I know. Our fellowship of godly people understands more of God's word than any fellowship anywhere. And And that makes us more responsible.
You're right. Right on.
Am I? Sister Shelley Babinski, a member of our congregation, drives 120 miles, which takes her 2.5 hours to get to our congregation. And she does it every service for the last 27 years. 120 miles, 2.5 hours for 27 years. And these are not freeways. They're secondary roads. Often they're curvy and mountainous. She sometimes meets with several deer or a herd of elk, and she has hit them at various times. In the winter, these roads can be very treacherous. But because of her choice, she comes at this. People say, why do you go all the way? She says, truth. Truth! But God has blessed her. She has 2 daughters. Both of them are very active in our congregation. And both of them have precious husbands. Because of truth, hundreds of saints moved to where they can hear it preached. They sacrifice to get to truth. Others sacrifice high-paying jobs. They may move to where truth is, or others maybe challenged, or I should say tempted by a higher-paying job if they move elsewhere. But some sacrifice high-paying jobs elsewhere to stay where they can sit under truth. To buy truth. Many have made great sacrifice. Some saints have lost their families. At one time, in our congregation, we lost 35 people. A mass exodus out the door. And most of them were my family, or a good number. Did that hurt? It was like my heart was torn out. I wept, I cried. I pleaded, no, 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 but it fell on deaf ears. But now God has given us a congregation that we appreciate much larger than we've ever had. Persevere, as Brother Decker said. Persevere, but don't relinquish the truth. If God's not building your work, it's going to fall apart and it will not prosper. The Bible says, if God's not helping you build, your building is in vain. And in this day and age, we need the building. We need the help of God. We need the help of God in this day and age. Rebellion. Hello. Compromise. And on we go. Some saints have lost their families. But as Paul Harvey would say, that's not the rest of the story with my family. My parents came back after 5 years. My dad said to me, he said, David, we tried to paint a beautiful picture, but it was a hell. Those were his words verbatim, verbatim, verbatim. He said, it was a hell. There's no place, amen, this side of eternity better than where you can hear truth. And you people are blessed. You're blessed. Some have lost their jobs. Ties with those we thought to be friends were broken. I've had that happen many, many times. Some of God's people have suffered pain. Even death, buying the truth, standing for its principles. How about the first martyr, Stephen? Can you imagine being stoned? And the last chapter, or last part of Hebrews 11 chapter says some were sawn apart, put with lions, and on it goes, tortured, standing for truth, refusing to relinquish truth. They suffered. Too many people want to suffer. To sell the truth, we do one of the following. We make a compromise with the enemy. We compromise with the world. We compromise with false religion. So I believe the Church of God has a beautiful high standard. I do. I don't apologize for the standard of the Church of God. It's very beautiful. Many compromise with the enemy, with the world, with false religion, and its erroneous teachings. Sometimes truth and error can look very much alike. Deliberate, pray, ask God to help. Some forsake truth altogether and go back into the world. Paul wrote of Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia." I'm sure they're sorry for their choice. The world out there holds nothing for me. I forsook it many, 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 many years ago when I was a little boy, around 70 years ago. Close to that. After spelling out the means of spiritual life through eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, Jesus lost all of his followers except the 12 apostles. John 6:66 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Once we have paid the price for truth, it should never be relinquished, renounced, or given up. Your greatest possession ought to be, "I've got truth. I've got truth." The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss." I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ. And that's the way we should feel about truth. I look back at that which I've suffered because of truth and it seems so minimal, so small. I thank God for truth. Truth puts you in contact with the finest people on this globe. Truth puts you in contact with the finest people on this globe. Few people are willing to pay the price to buy truth. They don't want to suffer. The Church of God writer, Brother Warner, said, "Suffer. Who will suffer for the Savior?" Martin Luther said, "Peace, if possible, but truth at all costs." Amen. We should never bend the truth, neither should we water it down. As the saints sing here, we should like it just like it is. Truth preached as straight as it should be preached is a comfort to God's people. It's a comfort to God's people. So number one, we should buy the truth and never relinquish it. Secondly, we must live the truth. As Sister Frances Wilson said, buy the truth, live the truth. If we're not living the truth, those who are watching us will become disillusioned to Christianity and the church. If we do not live the truth, those who are watching us become disillusioned with Christianity and the church. We've had a miraculous happening. Many, but one not too long ago, you heard me tell this, where a convict, a man who was imprisoned for 17 years, came out 3 years, was hit by a drunken driver and burned to death. A miracle, a miracle. But I say this to the glory of God. He said, "Pastor, I never saw real Christianity until I saw you you. He was raised in a Pentecostal church where they're fighting and fussing and carrying on. He said, I never saw a real Christianity, Pastor, till I saw you. If we don't live right, we're causing men to be disillusioned. Just recently, we have another young man moved from Anchorage, Alaska. He and so enjoyed the camp meeting. Brother Decker met him. We become very close. He said, I look at you. He said, I've never seen real Christianity, but I'm looking at one. It's important that you and I live right. We're not going to win a lot of people. I don't see that in the book. Well, there'll be one here, one there that we have to go after. Fish. What is our bait? Truth. Our talk and our walk must agree. We talked about buying the truth, now living the truth. Our talk and our walk must agree. If they do not, we fit the description of the Apostle Paul to those who are living differently from what they professed. In Romans 2:24, Paul said, For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. That's a terrible thing to say. Someone said, if of Jesus Christ their only view, listen to me, if of Jesus Christ their only view may be what they see of him in you, professing Christian, what do they see? Can I repeat that? If of Jesus Christ their only view may be what they see of him in you, professing Christian, what do they see? Very good. We've all heard this poem, but let me read it again. Edward A. Guest wrote a poem entitled, I'd Rather See a Sermon. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might understand you, for I might understand you and the high advice you give. But there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. People are watching us. I have people coming to Denny's all the time and said, you're a preacher. I said, how do you know? We watch you. We watch you. God's people are friendly people. I have a doctor of divinity. He has come several times. A retired Baptist minister who has a doctorate. He reads his Bible in Greek. But a very precious old man. Right. We've become very close. He comes many times to our meetings. He said, your people are the friendliest people. Right. He came one time and Brother Deck was preaching on the church. And he sat there. He's a sharp old man. Brother Decker preached on the name of the church. Amen. I would just, with the message, amen, that's true. But he was getting a little hot. So after service, we went downstairs for a little bite to eat. He went down with me. And he said to me, were John and Charles Wesley saved? I said, oh, yes, Brother Brindley, they were saved. Well, they weren't Church of God. He doesn't understand, right? He needs more understanding. Amen. But what I'm getting at, we as God's people should be friendly. reach out. Last but not least, we should love the truth. Love the truth. Our assurance of heaven is that we learn the truth, live the truth, and love the truth. Our assurance of heaven is that we learn the truth, live the truth, and love the truth. This is the plan for the safety of our eternity-bound souls. This is the plan for the safety of our eternity-bound souls. The Apostle Paul warned of not loving the truth. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. We know these scriptures very well, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. And I might say back then it worked, and it can work among us. Hello. The mystery of work of iniquity. Sometimes it works in Church of God congregations. Hello. Kind of a mysterious thing. This one affects that one. That one affects another one. Hello. For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Only who now let it until it be taken out of the way. There'll come a time when God will expose it, right? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. When Jesus takes the situation, comes down, you'll see it clearly, right? Hello? Amen. Even now, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan. I know this is what this is talking about in Roman Catholicism and so forth. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. There are lots of things going on in false religion that are deceiving the simple-minded. Hello? I was teaching in a psychology class one day at a high school, subbing in that class. And I believe the Lord works out many things, I shouldn't say all things for our good. But I was subbing in a class, psychology class, and that day we were supposed to show a film that was made of all the deceivers in the world. And it came to the place where they talked about a man by the name of Peter Popoff. A faith healer who amassed millions of dollars, deceiving countless thousands. And Peter Popoff was going all over the world, but there were two men determined to break his influence, his organization. They knew he was false. They had to get some evidence. And so they watched him. They traveled all over the world. But one day they noticed a little tiny black spot behind his ear. A small round black spot. And so they went to a local electronic store and they got this sophisticated equipment. And they went to church that night. And they found him and his wife communicating. She would talk to people as they were coming in and write down things about their life, sicknesses, where they lived and so forth. And he got up in front, and the people had never met him before. But through this mechanism, she would communicate this information. He would say, over here, there's a fine-looking young man. He's got a yellow shirt on. I know where he lives. And he has such and such a disease. The man would say, how does he know that? How does he know that? He said, if you'll come up and give me $5,000, I'll pray and God will heal you. And that went on and on. And they broke through. And he became bankrupt. But I still understand he has somewhat of a ministry. But there's a lot of deceivers out there. Peter, you can look it up. Peter Popoff. He's one of countless numbers. Amen. I thank God for truth. When I was a boy, my mother came to truth when I was 5 years old. And she was the only one who accepted truth. In her entire family, she had like 12 or 13 siblings, German family. And we'd go to some of them, and they got involved in Pentecostalism. They were evangelical. They belonged to the evangelical church. But they got involved in Pentecostalism. And my mother stood strongly against him. We'd go to the home of one of them, and Oral Roberts would come on. He'd say, "Now put your hand on the television set as a point of contact." My mother would tell our whole family, "Stay away from that television set." I'd be very careful of whom I would have pray for me. I witnessed the deliverance of a woman who was a university professor, 35 years, who allowed some Pentecostal women to pray for her, and she was devil-possessed for 35 years until she came to the Church of God. Your soul is your most important asset. Guard it. And thank God for truth. Learn the truth. Live the truth. And love the truth. Amen. As we go on, 2 Thessalonians 2. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then they perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You're opening yourself to all kinds of deception when you leave the truth. I can say this, I've said it many countless times. I've never seen one individual who's left God's acres or any thriving Church of God congregation prosper. It will not happen. It will not happen. It won't. And many of them get into very, very insidious, deceptive cults and false religion from which they'll never come out. Amen. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie and be convinced that they're in the truth, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Truth is my very best friend, as they sang about Jesus. I want truth. I've separated from lots of people in my 77 years because I wanted truth more than friendship. Hello. Our assurance of heaven is that we learn the truth, live the truth, and love the truth. It's our plan of safety. Verse 10 that we read says that they received not the love of the truth. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Amen. If we do not love the truth, I'm getting down to the end. If we do not love the truth above everything, there's a good possibility that we will be misled. We will be misled. We will think that we're right when we're actually wrong. Solomon wrote, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to know. Jeremiah wrote, Jeremiah 5:30, and this could be said of America, absolutely, amen. A wonderful, Jeremiah 5:30, 31, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets, the preachers, prophesy falsely. and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people, in many cases, they love it that way. But what about the end? What about the end? Amen. Religious leaders by the thousands are misleading countless numbers of people. Religious leaders today are misleading countless numbers of people. Priests and preachers are allowing their people to do almost anything they want to and still profess Christianity. I had a group of our sisters in Denny's, a group of Church of God brothers and sisters, and a religious minister came in and said, "Give me a scissors! Give me a scissors! I want to cut off all that hair!" That's almost blasphemous. My wife will attest to that. My wife will attest to that. That's almost blasphemous. I say this, and you say you're way out in that water. But if Mennonites who don't have the truth can have that standard, if the Amish who don't have that truth can have the standard, if the United Pentecostal has that same standard, we who have the ultimate truth, shouldn't we do it out of appreciation? I stand. Shouldn't we do it out of appreciation? And rather than holding up the standard, too many ministers are complying with the wishes of the people. But my concern is, how am I going to stand before Almighty God? Priests and preachers are allowing their people to do almost anything. They want to be popular with the people. I tell the people, I really, yes, in a sense, I care whether you like me, but that's not my greatest concern. My greatest concern is God for me. There's little or no restraint today against sin and worldliness. Religion today is catering to the flesh. We could become deceived if we don't have the genuine love for the truth. Hello. My wife was appalled when that religious leader just called right out in Denny's. Here are my sisters, brethren. Give me a scissors! Give me a scissors! I'm going to cut off all this hair. Jesus warned us that we should walk while we have the light. Light's not always here. Light's not always here. John the 12th chapter and verse 35 says this. John 12, 35. Now I'll say this, I'll just be fair with you. Not every sister, not every brother preaches exactly as I preach it should be or the standard. But I try to be patient. Hello. John 12, 35 says, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk." See, our concern should not be, well, how do I look? I had one older lady in my congregation whose background was faith and victory. But she got where she cut her hair pretty short. And she said, "My husband likes it this way." Well, our concern shouldn't be, how does a husband like it? How do I like it? But how God Almighty likes it. What pleases God? She said, "Oh, my husband likes it. I know, Brother Stigma, what you preach, but my husband likes it this way." Sounds like Adam and Eve. Hello. Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you." And I say that truth is the quality, it's the only ingredient that will bless a Church of God congregation. And we let down in truth, we're going to go down. Unless we compromise with sin and worldliness. Hello. And I, by the grace of God, will not compromise. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. The darkness that Jesus was talking about was not this physical, literal darkness. He was talking about spiritual darkness. But I believe this, as far as it's something I've observed, that Church of God congregations, who at one time had the truth, when they go down farther than many other churches who are in Babylon. They go down, down, down. This darkness is spiritual darkness. Our spiritual understanding becomes diluted. Our spiritual understanding becomes diluted. We're misled by a false belief. Walking behind light darkens our spiritual perception. Amen. We find examples in the Word of God. I want you to just listen to my closing comments here. We find examples in the Word of God and in modern life where individuals, congregations, and nations sidestep the truth. But look at the end. Look at the end. Let's take, for instance, the literal Jewish nation. I believe their leaders were responsible for the mass killings during the Holocaust. Millions. I read in USA just a few days ago where they're looking for the last group of young men who took 330,000 Jews out to a ravine and shot them one by one. You can say what you want, but something I believe to be true. The leaders of the Jewish nation, they were responsible because they turned down the epitome of truth. They crucified the embodiment of truth. That's why they've suffered, not because they're the chosen people. And to me, that's us as Church of God people. We need to be very careful of turning down light. Because we are the Jews in this day. We are the Jews. So our leaders need to be perceptive. Our leaders need to have discretion and godly discernment. Hello. Lest they bring down the judgment of God upon their people. Amen. We find examples again in the Word of God in modern life of individuals, congregations, and even nations. Races of people who sidestep the truth. But look at the disastrous results. In closing, we must never substitute human traditions for truth. There are such things as human traditions. I battle sometimes, and of late, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, and you can just put me wherever you want me. When I was just a young boy, 12 years old, we left the Anderson Movement because of its apostasy. And our pastor began to look before he found God's Acres. Eventually they found God's Acres. And what a fellowship. We began to look to the Faith and Victory Movement. They came. We appreciated the standard. They had some fire that many in the movement of Anderson lost, the fire. We have a boy that comes from a new minister, and he said, I'd like to come to Canby because there's fire there. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Ghost, right? But I played for the piano for the services. This man got me aside. I'm not criticizing him, but he said, do you want to go to heaven? I said, oh, I certainly do. I certainly do. He said, well, son, he said, you need to quit playing that piano. And so I went home. I was 12 years old. And I went home very despondent, very sad. God loved music. And my mother said, just go on. But it was always in the back of my mind. Until, like I said, I learned a lot, much truth right here. I came here and heard Brother Wilson preach from the 87th chapter of Psalms and said, this is the church. Verse 7 says, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be. In English grammar, that's a future tense verb. It'll be fulfilled in the New Testament. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All the springs are in thee. And Brother Wilson preached that. It took away that doubt, that despondency that was there. I had a young man come to me before I left along some of these things. I said, that's human traditions. And we must not teach human traditions for truth. It must be the Word of God. We should never substitute traditions and teachings of men for truth. Check out those customs and practices by the Word of God. Truth, and I'm closing, truth, if obeyed, will make us more Christ-like and draw us closer to God's chosen people. Let me repeat. Truth, if obeyed, will make us more Christ-like and draw us closer to God's chosen elect people. You and I have a godly heritage, a goodly heritage, godly heritage here at God's Acres. Let us continue to learn, to live, and to love the truth that's been imparted to us. We are blessed above all people in the world. We have a goodly, godly heritage. My father was saved here. My dad, who fought the church all my life, I can remember our home was a battle zone because of religion. My dad came here in 1967 and was gloriously saved. I found my wife here. We have a goodly, godly heritage. We're blessed. Let us continue to learn, live, and love the truth. It's, as I say, it's our only assurance of making heaven our eternal home. God bless your precious hearts. Shall we stand?